Hello. Thank you for listening and watching You at Options. This episode I have Toby Jegg from Red Scare Industries on. Great conversation. He describes his couch as a hand job weed couch. He talks about Gilgamesh. He describes the perfect Chicago style pizza isn't actually a pizza. Yeah, fun, great conversation. Really enjoy talking to him. Go check out Red Scare at Red Scare Industries anywhere on social media. Go check out their catalog. Always putting out great stuff. Yeah, go check out You at Options at You at Options. Go buy a shirt at thehandsomescoundrels.com/shop. The You at Options shirt. Yeah, thank you for watching and listening.
You've been asking me to do this for a long time, and I'm a dick. I'm sorry. But we're here now, and this is important. Thank you for caring about stuff. I just want to say I'm only doing this so I can get more views than Mikey Erg. I saw you have Mikey Erg on the show, and I only want more people to see this than that saw Mikey Erg's episode. So, you know, with a little a little elbow grease. We can get there. We'll get the play count up there.
I think you can move the meter.
We'll see. Got to move the meter. Normally, I saw you do an intro thing where you're like on your couch and then you'd start the interview.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that couch situation that looks like one of those couches where there's been a lot of like joints passed around, maybe a hand job or two. It's one of those kind of it's a rock and roll couch you've got there.
Yeah.
So I look forward to seeing the intro and then this. Anyhow, it's your show. What's happened? What do you want
for me? It is a nice couch. It's a mid-century velvety.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're drinking what? You're drinking like a black and tan.
It's a poorly mixed iced coffee.
Okay.
You know, they get these kids right out of high school at Starbucks, and they don't know what they're doing.
Right? It's like, can't you find some, like, people with postgraduate degrees or something?
Right.
Whatever.
Are you in Chicago?
Right now, I'm in space, as you can see. where I'm up with the this fucking SpaceX people that don't have a shitter or whatever. Isn't that what in the news? Like their pisser broke and now they have to wear diapers, which is like they got tricked into going to space, which is cool until you can't take a leak and then you're pissing yourself. No, I am. Red Scare is currently based in Chicago. Yes. Red Scare is generally a Chicago label. We have a lot of Midwest bands. You know, Brendan, who's my homie and all this, is here, and our mail order people from here. But me personally, not that anyone gives a sweet damn about it, my partner is in medicine, so we have moved around a lot, especially during these lean pandemic times. Mm-hmm. Like we were living in the West Indies, we were living in West Philadelphia, we were living in Chicago. We've moved a bit. But we're here in Southside Chicago now. It's cool. We could have ended up in worse places. In about 6 months, I'll have to move to a different place. Does that answer your question?
Is it just based off their work, your partner's work, that you guys are? Did they get like?
What are you, She's at a hospital down here on the south side right now, and she will be at a new hospital doing MD stuff in June. I'm kind of looking over there. I don't really want to know the answers to some of these questions. Kind of like,
yeah.
Me personally, I would love to move to the West Coast. It's a controversial topic in this household, but you know, we don't really know. The label kind of has to move around. Thankfully, we have a warehouse which is stateside, obviously, and I have good people helping, and we can do all this shit. I can work with bands, promote bands. I also book tours and stuff. I can do that from wherever as long as I have the internet.
Yeah.
It's hard to I'm not going to find like the next great punk band if I'm like, don't even know the scene at all or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not familiar with the landscape, but I mean, we know Chicago. Oh, there ain't no shows really happening anyhow. It could be worse. I mean, everyone's kind of having to deal with everything during the pando, but we adapt and it's fine. you're in Alabama?
Yeah.
Now, did we meet in Alabama?
No, we met at in Gainesville at the Brendan Kelly pre-fest kickoff.
Yeah. Just saying, I was at a show in Alabama, a nice big socially distanced brewery show in Alabama. And I would have figured, since we're friends and I would go to Alabama, maybe you'd go too.
Where?
But, it's fine. Maybe next time in Alabama, I'll go. Well, maybe you'll come out this time. I don't know.
I'm down, man. I met you in another state. You know, I'm dedicated. I'm down for the cause.
All right, that's fine.
Was it in Birmingham?
It was in Birmingham, yes.
Yeah. So that's like 4 hours for me, bro.
Is it? Okay. Sorry.
No.
Well, maybe next time I come through, we do on the fucking, pervert couch of yours.
most of the activity, the hand job passing around and the joint passing around, was not from me. If they're like ghosts, like sex ghosts, I feel, in the couch. Most of my couch activity is napping based.
Okay.
And
yeah, I'm good for a nap. I had a nap today. Mm-hmm. I wake up at sometimes 5 a.m. because our upstairs neighbors are into vacuuming at 3, 4, and 5 a.m.
Jesus.
So yeah, I know. I like, we've been kind of like, is that against the law? Like, do you have a leaf blower at 5 a.m.? I don't know. I don't even know about noise ordinances. I'm not going to call the cops anybody for vacuuming, but fucking A, man.
That's pretty
good.
Yeah.
So what do we got? You've interviewed Adam Carl from Good Friend, Irish kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a fun guy. Good guy.
He's super fun. He's like a whiskey maker, distiller.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck they call those. I think everybody in Ireland makes whiskey, though. I think it's leprechauns and whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
The Dropkick Murphys. That's Ireland. And you had a episode about Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, my buddies have a D&D podcast.
Great.
I'm not a... Are you a D&D man? Have you dabbled?
I'm a huge, huge D&D nerd. I have a campaign, a D&D game that's been running since like, oh God, it almost 30 years.
Shit.
Yeah, it'll be, but I mean, because I live so far away, we maybe play twice a year now.
Oh.
But for my gaming crew is definitely going to watch this. We're working on the game around the holidays. We're working on a twofer around the holidays. Get two fucking righteous quests in. Anyhow, we're not here to talk about Indoor Dragons.
It's anything. Hey, man. It's anything. Are you the dungeon master?
I'm going to get more views than Mikey Erg is because we're gonna keep the content happening. Hot. We're not gonna just veer off into fantasy game. No.
Are you the dungeon master? Is it somebody else?
As it happens in this campaign, it's almost 30 years old. I am the dungeon master. Yes.
Do you find D&D seeping into your everyday life, like your thought process?
I bet I think about Dungeons and Dragons every day. It'd be weird. I can't imagine. That's a weird thing. I probably think about D&D every day. Yeah. I mean, also, part of my daily regimen, you know, I got things on a list I do and try to read a paragraph of, I need to read every day, you know, I need to try whatever it is I got going on.
Yeah.
I usually put Game of Magic the Gathering on my list.
Yeah.
You know, you can have some, you know, treat yourself, right? Magic the Gathering now has an online interface, an online game, which I know sounds pretty whack, but I love it. Every day I do a little magic game. And of course, that's got me thinking about D&D. So, I think about Dungeons and Dragons and soccer and punk music every single day.
Yeah. Have you tried to combine any of these together in a Red Scare capacity or something?
Soccer and D&D is tough.
Right.
When Red Scare, you know, 10, 12 years ago, we... One of the things I always wanted to do. Well, the label was going to be called a few different things.
Right.
We ended up with Red Scare. I was going to either do Awesome Possum, and it would have I love possums. Yeah. And it would have been a possum like in a leather jacket, kind of like doing a Fonzie thing, you know.
Would Awesome have been spelled like O W?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't want to get too. I don't. I'll leave that kind of stuff to no effects. Wordplay. It was Awesome Possum or Critical Hits, which I know people have fucked with that a little bit. A critical hit in the gaming world is like when you roll a 20 on a 20-sided die. It's a critical hit, so you're stoked. And it would have been instead of like, you know, because this is, you know, we're going back almost 20 years here, so. Everyone was like into like rockabilly shit. Anyhow, flaming dice, but it would have been flaming 20-sideds, not 6-sideds dice. And me and my friend David Jones, he's a singer for Enemy U. We lived in San Francisco. We hung out every day. He's like he's a big D&D nerd. And we'd get drunk and we'd come up with all sorts of shit, you know, about crossing gaming over with punk and stuff. And I definitely had talked to bands about doing a compilation of gaming related songs. And I mean, it's not too late. No one says I can't do it, right. But we could still call that Critical Hits. I had the Epoxies. There's an old Fat Records band. Cause like Jesse was like, it's a big D&D nerd too. Right. I had them. For example, I would just be like, yo, what do you think about doing like a D&D theme song? It's like, my band would never do it, but I will literally drag them into the studio to make you a D&D song. It's like, yes, got another one. I think I may have talked to like Perry from Nerf Herder about it because they're a kind of band that would have songs about Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. Doesn't need to be a D&D. Nowadays, gaming is so loose. It could be fucking Call of Duty or some bullshit, but... Yeah. David Jones is no longer alive, and it would be really. He was the yin to my yang in this gaming punk thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So it would be. I'd need some help with it, but definitely talk to some bands about doing it, and maybe someday, maybe the Red Scare like 20-year compilation could just be all songs about D&D. Who knows?
Ooh. Have you been able to do it? Have you tried to do anything soccer punk wise?
You know, it's funny you ask that. I mean, soccer and punk have a lot of crossover. St. Pauli. We love St. Pauli. I've been to a St. Pauli game. That's a funny story. I can tell you that in a second. But this is the Arson City Ultra scarf, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a well, you can't see shit, but anyway, you get the idea. It's pretty dope. ACU, they are a supporters group here in Chicago, the Chicago Fire, but it's all like the punks. They're sort of paired up with the other like ultras in the behind the goal, the Sector Latino, and Sector Latino has a pretty big ass following. They do all the drums and they put on like the dope pregame tailgates and shit like that. But RC City Ultras, they're like the punks, and it's a bunch of guys who are into soccer and also playing a bunch of like oi and street punk bands and shit.
Yeah.
From here, you know, soccer and punk have had obvious crossovers for years, but I was hanging out with these guys and I sort of had to what I have to do what's the term for it, I was on probation. Yeah, I was a probate with the supporters group. I may have made a cut. It's hard to say, but I'm in probate status if I'm an official RC City Ultra member. And here's the thing about that, and I explained this to them very early on. I'm actually a Sounders fan. Like, I'll go to the Fire game. I'm stoked on the Fire, and I will. I guess it's lame to have two teams you like, but yeah. Like, you know, I live in Chicago, and I go to the games. And they're like, ooh, I don't think you can be a Sounders fan. I was like, well, I'm from I used to see the Sounders play in the 1970s when I was an infant child. So, you know, anyhow, RC City Ultras, they're awesome. St. Pauli's pretty dope, too, if you're into that stuff.
What was you said you had a St. Pauli's story?
Yeah, totally. St. Pauli is in it's in the – for those who don't know, it's a Bundesliga team. That's the Bundesliga 1 is the highest level of soccer in the German play. And as it stands now, St. Pauli is about to go back into the top division, you know, and in soccer, they have a meritocracy a little bit. It's not like if in the NFL, if the Lions were last place every year, they'd have to go down and play in the second division. Right.
Right.
But in soccer, if you can start out with your friends and a team, and you can go all the way up to play the fucking Champions League team, right? If your team was good enough, of course, obviously you'd have to spend millions getting the talent. So St. Pauli is about to go back into the first division of the Bundesliga because they're in first place, knock on wood. And it'd be pretty interesting. But they are in the Reeperbahn, the red light district of Hamburg, Germany, which is already sort of like, you know, a very far left leaning. It's the San Francisco of Europe, really. Yeah. It's Amsterdam of Germany, and you know, all the, you know, their logo is the skull and crossbones. They have punk bands that play at halftime and shit like that, right? So it's pretty cool. I've always wanted to go. They are the heart and soul of like Antifa punk soccer. You know, where those Venn diagrams cross over. And I was in Germany like often, but I was back there and my family is from there. So I visit them and I hit them up and they're like, yeah, this is a huge day. It's the last game of the season. It's a huge day for the city. It's the 400th. It's a Hoffen Geburtstag. It's the 400th birthday. It's going to be a tough ticket to get. But if you are, I was told if you're like a punk rocker from elsewhere in the world, we'll get you a ticket. And so I emailed them and I'll be damned. They wrote back and they're like, yeah, we looked you up. You're a punk person from America. If you're going to be at the show, at the game, you can buy a ticket and it's $6. It's like, fuck yeah. I could have like sold it for like 200 euros or something if I wanted to, but that'd be the lamest thing ever. I mean, it was really hard. My point is it's a hot ticket. Not for love or money could you get that ticket. And I got into the game. It was awesome. I drank some beers. I got some cups still from the game. And it was awesome. And it's a cool thing. If anyone is interested in that sort of thing and you're traveling, you can contact their like supporter group and they will hook you up with like a discounted ticket. The games are all sold out, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a really fun experience. Even if you don't like sports or whatever, the atmosphere is fun. It's different from other shit, you know.
Yeah. I'll go to Atlanta United games every once in a while. My brother lives up around there, and I don't follow them or any MLS team really. I just don't know. I just too much. I got too much stuff going on. But
yeah, they play a lot of games.
Yeah,
you know.
But the yeah, being there, even at, you know, an American, you know, soccer game, it's pretty fun. It can get pretty loud.
Yeah, it's fun. It's cool. And also, I know Atlanta was doing the thing where they're like beers were $2 or something, and food was $2, and the tickets were cheap. I mean, they're putting like 30,000 people into a game there, and yeah, that's hard to do. Some teams have done really well with it. Seattle, Portland, in Chicago, you go to a game and there's like 2,000 people sometimes. So they moved the team back to the city. They play at Soldier Field now, which should help their cause. And again, we got the Arson City Ultras showing up. So any day now, we're going to fill up Soldier Field full of punks. It's going to be a wild time. I want to get, I want to have a band play, like a tailgate, mm-hmm, you know?
What would be your top band that you would want to get?
It's funny you say that because, La Plebe is a band that has been defunct for years now. They're a San Francisco band. I don't know how to describe them. They're punk in Espanol, but also with horns. They're not really a ska band per se, but anyhow, again, pretty left-leaning border politics stuff. Great record that we put out with them.
Yeah.
Cool band. And it's funny, as soon as I walked, the first time I walked into the new Soldier Field setup and hanging out with the tailgate, I saw dudes wearing La Plebe shirts. And one of the Arson City Ultra like stickers they have is a like bootleg La Plebe album cover that they did. And they're like, oh shit, you're gonna bust this. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? This is fucking awesome. So that would be my dream, is to get La Pinche Plebe to come out, but they're not really a band. I bet they'd fucking come out and play. But you know, Chicago also has like a super vibrant Latino punk scene, and you know, Los Crudos, tons of fucking bands that are all about that. So they would have a draw, and it'd be worth it. I should do it next season. In fact, I did mention it to them when I you know, I, even if your band isn't active, you still get royalties, right? And I always like put a little note in about everybody's royalties, you know, with their money. I was like, yo, I gotta get you out here in Chicago for a union gig. So maybe.
Can you speak German?
Yeah, no. I do all right. Like,
can you understand it?
By your standards and everyone else that I hang out with standards, I can absolutely speak German. I can't read a German newspaper, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can read German, but you know, once the vocabulary and lexicon gets like, too hairy, I'm out. I have trouble translating everything. I can absolutely speak to all my relatives and give them an update on what I've been doing and all this kind of shit, and understand what they're saying. They have to kind of speak to me like I'm an idiot. But here, the thing about Germany is they speak better English than we do here in America. So I don't need to speak German. But
right.
I get by over there. I'm fine. Mm. I mean, like when I'm in Germany, I speak German, and I'm going to the store or asking questions, or most of the time I'm at the bar, for example.
Right.
And then, you know, inevitably they're like, oh, you know, we speak English here. I'm like, all right. the Germans love that flex of like, I mean, and they should. They're multilingual. They're smart. It's a better run country. Mm-hmm. It's a more educated citizenry. And, you know, good for you, Germany. Hope you're happy.
I just kind of pictured you as like the German Peggy Hill a little bit.
Peggy Hill? Oh, that's a...
King of the Hill.
What's Peggy Hill?
She is like a substitute Spanish teacher, and she's very bad at speaking Spanish, and she'll often say like the wrong thing.
Right. I don't use words that I don't know. Mm. I would definitely understand things incorrectly sometimes. like I, my family's always posting shit on Facebook, and I, you know, that's the other thing. Like, well, I don't know. In some cases, the translator, you know, you can use a translator for on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can learn things, but yeah, and it's you know, like I haven't been back in a while, and it kind of gets shitty. But Chicago here has a pretty cool German American community, and they have all sorts of cultural events and things. If you want to do language classes or just go, there's they have a small museum. They do, you know, Oktoberfest and Mayfest and all that kind of shit. So there's things you can do to kind of like keep it fresh in your head, but it's hard. It's difficult, you know, having been away for so long.
Oh yeah. Talking about like, talking about royalties, has any weird like brand like reached out to put a Red Scare band song like in an ad or something, like Colgate something? I don't know.
Yeah. Colgate. You guess it. they're like, do you know anybody with shitty teeth? Like, yes, we do. No, we have licensed stuff to various things. Video games. There's occasional licensing things. Not as much as I would like, you know. That's a tough one. That's why labels move out to LA, so they can dive in and schmooze those people who are into music placement and like, you know, people that curate that shit. Enemy U got on a movie trailer, and it was huge. It was insane money. And you know, like very rarely does that shit happen. I would love, if there's anybody out there, I know this is going to get a ton of views. So
Mike, your numbers, yeah.
Music, what do you call that? Music director? No, like, what? See, I don't even know the fucking name of the position. Here's my problem. They are called whatever. Who cares?
Right.
If you're out there, music, make me rich, people. I'll do it for half the price. I'll do it for half of what fucking Pure Noise is giving you. You know, undercut those motherfuckers.
There you go, man.
Better music too, but it's subjective. Yeah.
Goodness, I'll see what I can, if yeah, I'll see what we can do here with this episode.
You could, please.
Oh god,
sake of the art.
So how long has Red Scare's been around? For almost 20 years, is that what you said?
Seventeen. Yeah, definitely old enough to drink in Quebec.
Okay. And so how long have you been booking tours like you are now at the level you are now? Like, that seems like a lot of shit to be doing all at once.
Oh, I mean, it hasn't really changed. It's always been like every day you wake up and there's things to fix. Thankfully, I got the neighbor upstairs, you know, like waking me up before the fucking rooster does. Are you asking me like what's changed?
No. Like how long, like it seems like, because I know just from booking shows myself at like, just for my band, it's stressful and a lot of work. So I imagine like you doing that full time for.
Yeah, booking is one of those things that like people at labels shouldn't do, and especially a label like Red Scare shouldn't do, because I'm already spread really thin, right?
Yeah.
I just approved, you know, production stuff for CDs and LPs. I just listened to some new music that Brendan sent, and I sent him. We're going back and forth. He's going to do a pretty cool split next year, and whatever. I won't bore you with the details. All the shit I got to do. Last thing I should be doing is the job of a booking agent. That's somebody else's job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because during the pandemic, there seems to have been a surge of music industry experts. And I think there needs to be sort of a, like, maybe I should do it. This is what a booking agent does. This is what a record label does. This is what a manager does. Because I have more dipshits on social media who criticize me for things that they just don't understand, right? Normally labels don't do booking stuff. I happen to kind of do it because all these baby bands that we kind of find and work with, we generally hook them up with their first shows and tours and all this kind of shit, right? And that's one of the cool things about being on Red Scare is that, you know, you don't go from 0 to 60, but you go from like 0 to 25. And we get things going, we get you some shows and teach you how to be a band. And many bands already know how to do this shit, but you know, everybody needs to start somewhere, you know, mm-hmm. Whether the fucking, I thought I heard a fire alarm. Whatever kind of band you are. So, I just started booking, yeah, because I was already helping out all these fucking bands. And then a booking agent would come along and be like, yoink, thank you. I'll be taking that. Now I'm making $200 every night from their shows. And it's like, maybe I should have done that. And so there are a few cases where I book a handful of like Red Scare homies that I like working with, you know. Mm-hmm. Same thing with me as a tour manager. I'm a tour manager. I only go out with like buds, you know, like the Lawrence Arms of the band I've been tour managing for like 15 years. And that's only because it's more like hanging out with your friends sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, but then the same thing with booking, like I only do it. It's sort of a labor of love. I know that sounds like unbelievable or stupid, but, you know, in general, booking shows sucks. And it's one of the big barriers. If you're a band out there, you know, it's tough to get on good festivals. It's tough to get out there with good bands. And like everything else in the music industry, it's kind of like organized crime. And there's just a bunch of networking and back scratching and bullshit that goes on. And mm-hmm. In order for me to kind of like really, you know, fight for my bands, I have to kind of like have my toes dip in that world a little bit. And it helps, you know, I mean, Elway just got some Hot Water Music shows. You know, a bunch of bands are playing with Lawrence Arms in December. Shit happens. And it's good for me to kind of like see all these tours that are passing through so I can keep hooking up bands that are trying to do that shit. You know, I wish I had more bands that wanted to tour more. Actually, that's kind of one of the problems now. So if you're a band out there and you're actually good, so most of you don't need to pay attention to this.
Skip this part.
Sorry, everybody. And you're good. You want to play shows. You want to tour. Maybe we should talk.
Yeah.
But again, please be good.
Oh, man.
I got a lot of friends out there. I'm already stocked up on friends.
You're full. Yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh, man. I can imagine you get hit up a lot for.
I mean, not by anybody who, you know, just you when you know you've reached the bottom when you're hitting me up for shit, you know.
Oh shit. Yeah. You said one of your daily rituals is you try to read. Are you reading anything now?
Yes.
What are you reading?
A Visit from the Goon Squad.
What is that book?
Well, I don't want to give it away.
No, just elevator pitch.
You know, it's funny. It's really stupid. And this book was pressed upon me. It's about a fucking guy who runs a record label.
Okay.
My homegirl really liked it, and she wanted me to read it, and I've been not reading it for a while. But I did. It's great. It's fine. It's okay. I think it won some awards and stuff. I'm trying to think of what I read before that.
Is it a true? Is it nonfiction or is it fiction?
I go back and forth. You know, I'm a big fan of. I'll be honest with you. I'll read. You know, I love like Hermann Hesse. I love like fucking old world Russian stuff. And then I go right back into books about Dungeons and Dragons. You know, I go back, I do one or the other. I do one of each, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, right now I'm doing Visit from the Goon Squad. I think it's also Daisy, is Visit from the Goon Squad also the guy that plays Magic the Gathering, or that's a different book? Because we haven't got to the Magic. That would have been the perfect. That would have been. You know what I'm talking about. No, it's somebody. It's a funny name. It's like a Latin name. It's like Pancho. You know what I'm talking about? The book about magic. See, is this a great podcast or what, folks? look, I got to read Visit from the Goon Squad first.
Yeah.
And then we move on to the next thing. I'm already kind of, that's the thing. I got to get through this before, because there's so many things I need to read. And it's like, you know, we'll see. What are you reading?
I just read this cool comic book, or what, graphic novel. Sorry.
Right.
It's called, I'm looking at it right, Did You Hear What Eddie Gein Done? I'm a big true crime serial killer guy.
Yeah.
So it's a Ed Gein book. It's pretty good.
Ed Gein's out of Milwaukee?
Yeah, somewhere in Wisconsin, I think.
Yeah.
Not starting to think he wasn't a good guy, you know?
Well, you know, I don't want to spoil it the for
stuff,
you. So.
Yeah, the stuff I'm reading.
Yeah, one of the famous like kind of punk hangouts here in Chicago is the L&L Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of brand themselves as a place where like John Wayne Gacy drank at and other like, you know, criminal, because it is a complete shithole at the corner of like a couple kind of two main streets that are always pretty spicy.
Yeah.
And it's got to be completely made up, but you know what a weird thing to like. But they have people that come through there now, and they're like, "Oh, is this where Gacy drank?" Like, "Oh yeah, totally, yeah, sure." Maybe Ed Gein drank there too. Let's throw that in the pile.
Yeah, he's sat right there. Yeah.
Hmm.
Have you ever had since being in Chicago? Have you ever had any run-ins with Kanye West?
I have zero run-ins with Kanye West. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No Kanye West whatsoever. I don't think Kanye West has been around here for a long time.
Mm.
No. The answer to that question, no. Next question.
Weird. Is there like a Chicago icon that you have run into? Bill Murray or somebody?
Yeah, so I used to work for the baseball team on the north side. I worked in the press box and in the marketing department briefly. And then I had to move. We moved to Philly and had to kind of give up that gig. And I'm glad, because that's when like the current owners are big Trumpers. And they also like turn the Wrigley into like a shopping mall. It's kind of whack, but whatever. Yeah, I'm a dumb nostalgic shit, so who cares, I think. But I mean, when I worked in the front office for the Cubs, obviously you run into Bill Murray. I give Bob Uecker a high five. I mean, in terms of that kind of world, I've definitely seen all that kind of shit. Don't know anything. Anybody has anything to do with R. Kelly? All right, if that's what you're asking.
That's where I was leading you.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with R. Kelly. I don't. I will say, actually, one of the guys. What's his name? Well, he is an engineer who also kind of engineered some punk stuff. And he was like R. Kelly's engineer, and I heard about like Trapped in the Closet sessions, you know? Are you familiar with R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet?
Oh, yeah. Like all 32 chapters of it or whatever? Yeah.
Well, I mean, Trapped in the closet. I haven't thought about that in, it's been what, 20 years since that shit came out? So, I don't know. But you know, the lore around that is R. Kelly's obviously just like extemporaneously telling the story, and he's in the studio and he's just watching everybody in the studio, and the only takes he kept are the ones that would make everybody like laugh their ass off, you know. The whole thing is just, obviously if you listen to it, I know it sounds like the fucking Epic of Gilgamesh or something like that, but it turns out it was just like off the cuff bullshit. That, you know, that's about all I know about R. Kelly's recording process. And I think that's you know what's fucked up about that is, you know, it's hard out here for independent music people, right? Mm-hmm. And not in 1 million years would fucking Pitchfork ever touch any of our shit, even if it was album of the year, you know?
Right.
Just because, again, music industry is generally like organized crime, and I've been around it long enough to be fine with that. But, you know, I remember when fucking Pitchfork was like, oh, well, let's get R. Kelly to headline, you know? And it's interesting because, you know, in this day and age where, I mean, you can your career can end by, you know, for using the wrong pronouns or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, you've got the fucking, you know, this monolithic gatekeepers giving R. Kelly ungodly amounts of money to fucking headline that festival. So it just goes to show you the fucking sad state of affairs over here. The R. Kelly headlining Pitchfork, you know, as like an ironic thing. I'm sure they have Taylor Swift next year and think they're very clever for that too, you know.
Oh shit. Have you had trouble with pressing records lately? Like timelines?
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah, it's stupid. Vinyl's gotten to the point where it's so impractical. I just put in an order for more LPs and shit. And I mean, we lose money on vinyl. Right now, if you're finishing up a record, it's not coming out till the year after next.
Yeah.
I use plants all over the world, you know, in an attempt to kind of like get shit out on time, but it's just impossible. It's just so saturated, and you know, it's because of Amazon started doing, you know, Vinyl Listeners Club and all this kind of shit, and it's weird. I mean, I'm getting pretty sick of it. Fucking, you know, the prices keep going up and up and up for shipping. The Postal Service has become less of a service and just more of a defunct business under the last administration. You know, the Postmaster General was basically a big shareholder in the competitors of the Post Office. I think he's he holds shares in UPS. So it should come as no surprise that he was kind of trying to sabotage the Postal Service. And he's doing a really good job. DeJoy is still the postmaster. It's weird because the president doesn't appoint the postmaster. It's sort of done by like a cabal of governors, and he's been allowed to last. There's a million reasons why vinyl is tough. You know, people are now the vinyl secondary market is a big thing where, and everyone's just flipping records. And that's not why I'm here making records, to help people like turn a profit on it. I mean, I understand that like that exists in the world, but as fucking naive as it sounds, I'm here to help my friends, and I'm here to help create art and lift people up, and for the punk community, you know, not for, you know, and I've been, there's this fucking dumb Facebook group that somebody hit me to this week because I was put on blast for I caught a flipper, right? And I wouldn't send them the record. And everyone's, oh, this motherfucker, you know, why does he care if we're flipping it? You shouldn't. And it's like, it was a rare record that we had left over some record store day. And we said one per customer, you know, it says right in the description. And and if, you know, they're just like, what does he care? We should be able to do what we want. What, why? And it's like, that's, I mean, I don't really care what you do with it, but at the same time, you're just taking from somebody else that wants it. You know, right. If you want to flip your one copy, do it. You don't get to flip a bunch of copies, you know? Yeah. So that kind of shit. And it's like, they're getting more and more Karens out there who expect us to operate like Amazon.com. And we do not have our own like fleet of delivery and driver people who could do this shit. We don't have the leverage to just go in and be like, yo, we need 500,000 copies of Adele. That's the other big news in the vinyl world. Adele is pressing 500,000 copies of her new record. You know, the last time somebody sold 500,000 copies was probably fucking Kiss before people had cassette decks or some shit. It's an insane amount of records. And it's obviously put every... It'll change every fucking... It'll affect everybody. It'll affect the dumbest bands, you know, Elway, Menzingers, fucking underground hip hop. It'll fucking hurt everybody. So, you know, vinyl is frustrating. I'm not like advocating for Spotify, but you know, it's what 90% of our band royalties kind of come from. So if you're out there, and I know you are because we're getting more listeners than Mikey Erg, if you're out there, people, before you go to bed, put on Red Scare releases and maybe a Mikey Erg release too, and put it on repeat. Go to bed and just know that you have maybe made us like 1.5 cents at night.
Shit, so, dude. It adds up.
If enough of you do that, if enough of you do that, we'll take this to the next level. You and me.
That's right. Straight to the top.
To the top, yeah. What do you think? We're probably boring people right now. This has been... We're coming up on some time here, you know?
I have some lightning round questions to kind of just...
Yeah.
And lightning, you know, is a... it's subjective, you know? Lightning is...
What are actually long, in-depth questions.
to circle back around, you mentioned Gilgamesh earlier. No.
Sure, yeah.
What's your favorite epic poem? No.
My favorite epic poem. Well, I mean, I think Gilgamesh is cool. Yeah,
Beowulf guy?
It is... St. Augustine's Confessions, like, what do we call that?
Journaling? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know the fucking Iliad. I mean, my favorite epic poem. I guess I'm going to have to go with the aforementioned Gilgamesh because that's all I got. You know what? Let me get back to you and we'll put this in the notes in the. I got to know what qualifies because I just made a list of movies. I write movie reviews for Entertainment Weekly.
Really?
Not in America. Don't worry. and we just came with like, what is Bo Burnham? You know, was it a TV show or was it a movie? And we're calling it a movie. Really? My point is, I need to go. Before I bring up invoke fucking Gilgamesh, I should know what I'm talking about, but I'll have to go through and get back to you. It might be something super dope, but as of now, I like some of that old shit because it's great context for Old Testament texts that we still strangely abide by, you know, and when you read Gilgamesh and this stuff was taken at face value, it's a pretty fantastic tale. It might set off your bullshit detector. You know, it's about the closest we have in Western, you know, civ to old biblical texts. And there's a lot of Dungeons and Dragons shit in there. So the same thing with Augustine's Confessions. It depends if you're Catholic. I don't want to hang that saint on you if you're not.
I was born and raised in the church. I'm not practicing.
Baptized.
Well,
Yeah. And then my mom died when I was like a like an infant. And oh, so she was a Catholic in the family. So, I mean, I guess that was her like parting gift for me that I didn't have to, you know, I actually don't have beef with these Catholics. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I had to pick, I'd take the Jesuits over the evangelicals, but ooh, you know, I'd rather have none. Anyhow, next question on the lightning round. Let's hear it.
What's your favorite truck stop / gas station when you're on the road?
That's a great question. You know, there was one out the crossroads. It's called I-80. It's the biggest gas station in the world, they say. There's also a huge, the biggest gas station maybe in the world might also be the truck stop. There's also one in Germany. It's like these crossroads of Europe. My favorite gas station on the whole road, I'll tell you what, I don't know, but the I-80 is cool. There is a gas station on the way from Phoenix to San Diego. Mm-hmm. And we were traveling. I was with the Lawrence Arms. And the last tour we did on the West Coast, and Neil, the drummer, was looking up. And he's like, yo, this burrito place has got – the reviews are fucking, like, off the chart. And it's, like, all 5 stars. And we're like, okay. I don't love – non-mission style burritos. I lived in San Francisco for 10 years and I'm like a dick about it, whatever. I pretty much am certain that only the best burritos are in San Francisco. But Neil had this gas station burrito stop. And if you're out there, and I know you are, people listening, there's a gas station somewhere between Phoenix and San Diego, whatever that interstate is. And it fucking delivered. The burritos were dope. 10 out of 10. That's the gas station. If I could go to one right now, it'd be that one. I can maybe find out. I can maybe track it down.
Okay.
And let you know what that gas station was. Same thing with the Epic Poem. Epic, but yeah. next question.
What's the worst punk rock bathroom you've had to use?
I've had to use?
Or just seen, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, what's that place in Oklahoma City? It used to be called like the library or whatever, or it's called, I think it goes by 89th Street now. Mm-hmm. There's a real bad one in Oklahoma City. I think generally everybody's go-to question on this is Gilman Street, just because if I had to use the bathroom, it'd be a tough hang. And I think of that only because I remember way back in the 1900s, seeing an interview of the Descendants.
Yeah.
And they were at Gilman Street. It was on the Everything Sucks tour. So keeping it pretty punk still, the Descendants. And Milo was like, yeah, the toilet here looks like a glazed donut.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's a very vivid image he created with that. So I got to go with Gilman. Okay. I got to go with Gilman. Because, you know, I went to school at Berkeley. I lived in Berkeley and fucking got a rep 924, you know. Next question.
What's your worst border / customs experience?
Got two really good ones. One was they both ended happily. The Canadians are tough. The Canadians are tough, and they're not afraid of humiliating you, and they should. This is their big shot, right? This is their time to shine. But I snuck into New Zealand with the Lawrence Arms, and I had planned this whole thing where I brought some Australian friends, not just to sneak in, but they were friends of ours, and they were going with us anyhow. But I'm like, I'm gonna pepper in some Australians in our traveling group, and you know, it's gonna be totally cool, right? And so Rachel Gray and Justin George were there with us, and they're good friends of ours from Australia. They finished Chicago. They hang out with us. And I figured this is right. Like, oh, you, because they knew we had like our passports were stamped like with work permits for Australia. And normally they can be like, what are you guys doing here? You're not supposed to be playing music. And the Lawrence Arms were literally sneaking in to New Zealand and we couldn't have it. It could have happened to show listed anywhere. As soon as we got in, well, I don't want to spoil it. We could announce it, but so we go through the customs, and I am just like, I've got my whole story dialed, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, And they're like, oh, you're visiting from America. Like, yep, sure am. You know, I hear there's a pod of orcas in the bay right now, and I can't wait to see Hobbiton. And I'm told there's under the big tower, there's a great burrito here in Auckland. And they're just like, well, golly, look at you. You are excited to be here. Come on in. I'm like, yeah, right. And then I look over and Brendan, bless his heart, I don't want to name names, but the one of the members of the Lawrence Arms was sweating buckets. And he's just, they ask, and he's like, yep, I'm in a band. I'm in a band. And because you're not supposed to sneak in if you're in a band.
Yeah.
And as I'm like walking through, like whistling, they're like, well, are you with this guy over here? I'm like, yes, I am. And so they sequestered us. They're like, all right, you Americans, I don't know what you guys are with a band. The Australians, you guys can go through. We're going to keep you guys. And they put us in our own room. Obviously, they're like, they're mic'd us. They can listen to it. They can watch us and listen to us. So we're sitting in there and they're like spying on us. And we're just like, fuck. So Brendan's one of my dearest friends. I love traveling with him. But he squealed as soon as he sang like a fucking jailbird. As soon as the first question, as soon as the going got tough. Me, I was like weaseling my way right into fucking Mordor and Hobbiton and all that shit. But he got caught and he fucking gave up right away. That was a troubling border crossing, but it ended well because that, you know, that was the coolest fucking place. I want to go back to New Zealand tomorrow and hopefully I'll get in legally.
Oh, yeah. Are there punk bands in New Zealand?
Yeah, there's punk bands in New Zealand. We toured with the Kiwi punk band. What's that band? The band was called The D4. Radio Birdman is from New Zealand. There's a popular, is it the Chats that are from New Zealand? Or are they from Australia?
I think they're Australian, yeah.
There's another like pretty cool like garagey sound. I mean, New Zealand has a awesome music culture. and when you go there, you know, No Effects would tell me like, yeah, we'd come out and there'd be like 30,000 people come to the show because it's like the one show that month sort of thing.
That's awesome.
It was strange. When Lawrence Arms were there, we saw posters for Tragedy all over the band Tragedy, mm-hmm. like a crusty punk band. And that was weird because they were like a day or two ahead of us. So it was fun as shit though. Wellington, my second favorite city in the world, like cool as shit. Go to New Zealand if you can. Next question.
What's your favorite regional beer? Do you have one?
I guess. First of all, you don't have to make up questions. If you're done with me, you're done with me.
No, I'm not making up questions.
Okay. Favorite regional beer. I'm going to pick a German beer. I like Kalser's Hefner Pilsner. There's a really awesome beer from Bremen I'm totally blanking on that's like beer for the punks. I don't actually drink beers. I drink cocktails like this. I don't like beer. If I was drinking a beer, there's that fucking milk stout. Was that Left Hand? It's a Left Hand milk stout is pretty good. Is there a Chicago brewery that's worth a shit? Woo. No, I don't know. I like Natty Bow in Baltimore. Yeah. I think that's the best shitty beer. Yeah. It is a shitty beer. And I'm going to go with regional beer, Natty Bow.
Natty Bow.
Yeah.
Love it. What's your perfect pizza?
Perfect pizza. I'm from the West Coast, and we have all our lives we hear about New York pizza this and New York pizza that. And it's like, man, fuck New York pizza. And then you go to New York, and it's like, oh, actually, it's better. It is. It's the best pizza in the world. Yeah, God damn it. It sucks. Sometimes you gotta take the L, right. You know? If I had to pick like some of my favorite pizzas, you know, on a sentimental tip,
yeah.
Back in Berkeley, there was Blondie's Pizza and Fat Slice. I think both of them might be gone now. They were like thick crusted, like doughy, garlicky, pizza, California style pizza, and I think that shit is dope. Yeah. Out here in Chicago, people talk about deep dish, people really don't eat deep dish. They eat tavern style pizza, that's square cut, you know, pan pizza. Mm. I think the best pizza, actually, that you can order is Jet's pizza. It's a Detroit style pizza, so it's like pan, it's like kind of thick, it comes in squares. If you can order it in some places in the Midwest, but Jet's is probably my favorite shit to order. I love it. In Chicago we have Pequod's pizza. If you need to eat deep dish in Chicago, you should go to Pequod's because it's the fucking best. It's not a chain. Mm-hmm. It's legit, and it's obviously a reference, it's a literary reference. If you want my opinion on the best slice of Chicago pizza, it's not actually a pizza at all. It's a thing called a pizza puff, which is like a deep fried, like kind of rolled giant pizza roll thing. Mm-hmm. You can get a spinach puff too if you're a vegetarian. It is the best, and you can only get it at the weird. You can't get it in Milwaukee. You can't get it in Bloomington, Illinois. You can kind of only get it in Chicago. Yeah. And my only advice is, let it sit for 10 minutes because it's molten hot lava inside. Get that pizza club. That's the best slice in town.
Mm. Interesting. And to follow up the pizza question, what do you want on your tombstone?
On my tombstone, yeah. I don't know. I think my name, perhaps the year I was born and I died. It's weird. I've been looking at tombstones all my life. My parents passed away when I was young. I know tombstones are like such a part of like the edgy alternative zeitgeist, you know? I mean, Brendan's last record is a reference to what he wants to put on his grave, you know? I personally never thought about it. I don't fucking know. I don't think you get to you don't get to decide what people put on your tombstone. You can make requests all you want, you know. But you don't have to. I guess as I understand it, Brendan has an actual thing, written contract with his wife that says she has to put that "Keep Walking, Pal" on his headstone. So unless you go to those great lengths, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I should probably think about it. I don't even have a fucking will yet, dog. So that's the first step.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't. I do know. I don't want to be. I want to go. You got to go back with the worms and the bugs and shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you should be cremate it, because then you kind of just burn that. You need nutrients. Feed the worms.
That's true. Wow. Yeah. I'm glad that you mentioned you don't have a will yet, because I feel like I'm getting in to this friendship at the right moment. Before.
Yeah. I'll put you in there. What you let me know what you want. I'll give you all the debt of Red Scare. That could be yours.
Okay.
It's yours for the taking.
Oh shit. Love it. Do you have any? We've done an hour here. Do you have any closing thoughts or?
No, it's cool. I like Alabama just fine. Roll Tide. I appreciate you being patient with me. Get back to you on this Q&A. I think it's been a real hoot. I feel like Mikey Erg, his play count is in trouble.
I think so.
I think so too.
Oh shit. All right, Toby. Well, you can stay on for a second, but you had options, but you decided to talk to me, and I appreciate it.
Cheers, man. It's been fun. It's cool. Yeah. I like talking about music, and I, as much of a smug, like, flip dick as I have been throughout this last hour, I do appreciate anybody that gives a shit about music and the art my friends create and taking the time to listen to this kind of shit, because it's obviously important to me, and if anybody else gives a shit, that's cool too, because other people care about weird shit like guns and money, and care about music is, in my opinion, way cooler. So thank you.